Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Who do you think will win the football later?
That's a tough one to call. First thing I would say to you is ignore all the paper talk and them TV pundits in their fancy suits. Sorry, son, I didn't mean you. Listen, if you want a sure winner, put your money on... Oh, no! Sandra's back and I forgot to take the bins out.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, I'm locked out.
Hello, very good day to you all. Welcome back to BetVictor's Eye on La Liga podcast, where we are getting ready to keep our eye firmly on all things Spanish football as the new season kicks off this coming weekend. I'm Ollie Wilson, alongside me, as always, Mr. Jason Pettigrove. Jason, we've got our eye on La Liga, but we're not going to have our eye on a TV screen at the moment because Spanish football is in a farcical state right now when it comes to the television rights and UK broadcasting rights in particular for Spanish football. We don't have, with under a week to go, anybody that is showing the opening weekend of the Spanish football season. Never to mind to take your kind of thinking cap off that for a moment and place it on the fact that now we're going to have no games on Mondays, but some games on Fridays after the Spanish Football Federation and La Liga have kind of semi-sorted that whole debacle out. It's an absolutely catastrophic start to a 1920 season in Spanish football. I just hope that this podcast this week has started a little better than La Liga is about to start on the weekend.
Let's go back to your first point first of all, and actually even before I do that, hello, it's good to be back on. Hope you're doing all right.
Sorry, I've started in a... There's a fair bit of gusto behind this because
He's on the soapbox already. And with good reason, let's be honest. I mean, it's incredible to think that one of the best football leagues in the world and one of the biggest markets, I would contend, in the UK and Ireland, and we're 4 or 5 days away from Athletic Club playing Barcelona and there's still no deal. From what I've been able to glean from some of the people I know in the industry, it would appear that Premier Sports have made a bid, but that's yet to be accepted. And I think there may be other people that are putting their fingers in that particular pie, but again, there's still nothing concrete at the moment. And I wonder, perhaps the issues that everybody wants to see Barcelona and Real Madrid and perhaps Atleti on a regular basis, but then unless you happen to be a La Liga connoisseur, for want of a better phrase, there's not too much take up for, say, like a Leganes v Osasuna game, with the greatest of respect. I mean, we know 11 Sports went in all guns blazing this time last year and found to their cost really that they didn't have anywhere near the subscribers that they thought they were going to get, and maybe that was something to do with not having a TV channel. It was all app based and obviously you had to buy a number of wires and bits and pieces to plug it into your TV if you wanted the big screen. But yeah, I mean, the week of the season starting and we still don't know if we're going to be able to watch it, it's farcical really.
Okay, so in my opinion, oh goodness, I sound like Robbie Savage. In my opinion, no, definitely I'll try and edit that out in some way, shape or form. But I do think that this just goes to highlight how far behind La Liga is in the way it deals with some of these situations. In particular, of course, this idea of rights compared to something, and I don't want to completely toot the horn of the Premier League, but they have done a magnificent job in branding and broadcasting. Two things that they have done so well over the last few years. And everybody else is playing catch-up. Italy have now tried to revamp their world feed slightly and have made steps forward in that sense. You know, new badges, new logos for the world feed. Spanish football has done that as well in the last few years. The Bundesliga, particularly with its English language content, has made a really big push in the last few years. I know a number of people that work on that and they did a big revamp of their English language content a couple of years ago. to say, look, we need to try and compete with the Premier League because we're all falling behind here right now. But La Liga seems to have this idea that because they have Real Madrid and Barcelona, and you're right, they are really the only two clubs that anybody outside of Spain seems to care about, which is sad, but kind of true. Because they think that we've got Barca and Real Madrid and they get world-renowned acclaim and there are fans all over the globe, that they should demand the same amount of money or similar sorts of funds that the Premier League gets. And obviously, maybe I'm being a bit harsh on La Liga there, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but they are asking for more than broadcasters seem to be willing to give, particularly in the UK, because it's not a massive loss. Sky Sports haven't kind of capitulated without their Spanish football. I was looking at some articles this week, trying to read up onto this a little bit more. And yeah, it's amazing. I can't even talk today right now. That's also useful. But the Clásicos only get around about 500,000 viewers or so, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that much. Like, that's a average, bang average Premier League sort of audience.
Yeah, I think also you have to.
It's not like the biggest game in Spanish football is getting over 1 million viewers in any way, shape, or form. And if that's your biggest game, as you say, you know, Athletic Club against Betis, it might be a fantastic game midway through the season, but there aren't enough people that are really fussed about it to warrant the big money being spent. There's a lack of atmosphere at a lot of these grounds because there aren't away fans travelling. A lot of the smaller grounds are half empty as well. There are fundamental things in Spanish football that they need to sort out to make it more broadcast friendly and to try and attract people's attention. And I also think that in the grand scheme of globalization of football, they're behind the Premier League, and it is a very long, slow battle that you need to build up to getting that sort of attention to try and compete with the Premier League. And it comes with building a package and a brand that is pleasing on the eye and the ears of the fans and the consumers, and then telling the narrative around that, some of those key stories. That comes with good commentators, good broadcasters willing to put a little bit more time and effort into it. And then you build up the excitement more and more for mid-table games. Because you think about the number of fans that you hear on world football phone-ins and discussing the Premier League around the globe that are, oh, I'm a Watford fan. I started following it 2 seasons ago and now I'm a Watford fan. They're just connected with me for some reason. Oh, I'm a Palace fan. Oh, you know, mid-level teams in other areas of the world in the Premier League get followed now because they've done a really good job of building up the brand of the Premier League. And La Liga is trying to rush it and catch up, and they're asking broadcasters to pay far too much for the rights, when actually what they need to realise is that if you don't have the broadcast rights over in the UK, no one's going to watch it and no one's going to care. Now, it works fine because they're obviously trying to open up new markets in Asia and the United States as well. But the UK is still a big football consuming country. Yeah. And it is worth trying to get your... I mean, some of the best football writers on the planet are based in this country and write for companies like the New York Times and work for people like ESPN. So it's still kind of a focal hub of world football, England, unfortunately, for La Liga, for Italian football as well, for Serie A, for the Bundesliga. So you do have to pay attention to getting your product broadcast and put out and viewed in that country to help expand it across the globe a bit more.
I think from a consumer point of view, a lot of it obviously is down to its very basic level, the cost, and also where football is ending up now. I mean, you've seen in England, you have to have Sky Sports, you have to have BT Sport for the Champions League. You have to have, you know, God knows how many other channels if you want to watch every single
Don't remind
game.
Me of all the subscriptions I've got, Jace. Jeez.
I know, quite. So you've got that. But then from a La Liga perspective, you've got in Javier Tebas, someone that's a very controversial figurehead. Someone, dare I say it, that, you know, organisation isn't his strong point, if I can put it like that. And that's kind of why there's always this perennial running with the RFEF, and now Luis Rubiales is doing his utmost to really sort of pressurise Tebas on all sorts of things. When you've got a league that can't even organise games, you know, within, I think it was only like 2 or 3 days ago they confirmed that Barcelona would be playing Athletic on Friday. So, as you say, one of the biggest leagues in the world, and they can't even organise when the fixture's going to be out. They should be telling everybody from the start of the season right through to the end of the season which days and times the games will be on. Occasionally, obviously, they're going to change because of TV and stuff like that. But it's just something, from a fan perspective as well, it's like, I know we had this argument once before about, you know, fans flying over, tourists flying over and stuff. You can't go to a game, you can't really organise flights and everything like that until really a couple of weeks before the game. But that's kind of a side issue to all of this. The whole thing is, if we go back to what you said, it's La Liga again not really understanding the market, pushing the narrative of them being one of the best leagues in the world, but actually the package that they're providing isn't anywhere close. I think Tebas and his board need to have a real sort of long, hard look at what they're doing and a sit down and use the Premier League as the perfect example, because if they go a whole season, let's assume that any of the bids that may or may not be on the table, you know, they don't get passed and the UK don't have...
Well, there were four bids initially in the initial round of bidding for the La Liga rights. As I'm understood to believe from articles I've read and reports I've seen, there were four companies that went in for it. Because ITV had it last year and they went in for it again with a very low offer because they kind of just helped out La Liga last year and 11 Sport as well. 11 Sport were back in for it again because at the moment they haven't really got much football on their platform and they could do with keeping the La Liga rights there. I also was led to believe that Speedy were offered the opportunity to bid and put in a bid, and Sky Sports as well. And La Liga declined all of those bids, saying that they were all too low. But La Liga doesn't get to decide how valuable their product is. That's for the television companies to decide at the end of the day. And for instance, Sky Sports went very big on La Liga a few years ago. They were showing every single game at one point. And then they lost the rights, and they've realised a year on, actually, it hasn't had a massive hit on our subscribers because they're still coming to us for the Premier League football. And because we spend so much money on the Premier League football, because BT spends so much money on the Champions League football, they don't have the money to throw around making extortionate bids on leagues like La Liga, which don't have the traction in the United Kingdom and have less traction than they did a few years ago, because there were some people that didn't realise that La Liga was even on 11 Sport last year, didn't really know what 11 Sport was. No. It was only because ITV picked it up and a Premier Sport picked it up that it got a bit more traction back again. It's baffling to think that La Liga can then turn around and say, no, you're not giving us enough money for this, when they should be desperate to get the content out.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
It's good for the clubs at the end of the day.
But again, you know, in the week where the season starts, and we're still no closer to knowing if it is going to be shown or not, I mean, surely somebody at La Liga has to get their heads from out their backsides and just say, look, there must be a deal here to be done. It might not be the deal that we want necessarily, but are we in a position to argue at this late stage? You know, we want people to see our product. We need to do something. But I think, unfortunately, with someone like Javier Tebas in place, it's going to be a difficult sell. And
where do you want to see it, Jace? Where would, I mean, and not taking kind of a personal bias into, oh, I've got Sky and I don't have BT, so I'd rather see it on Sky or something like that. But where do you think would do a good job of showing it, broadcasting it and making it available? Where should La Liga want it to be at this point?
Well, I mean, I think Sky, when they had it, did a fantastic job, not just on a match day. They had, you know, good commentators, but they had great pundits as well. They had good Spanish football shows during the week. It, you know, the whole all-round package was fantastic. I don't think 11 have had a bad job of it either. Again, because it's app-based, there's been a lot of issues. People saying, oh, we're not going to pay to subscribe if we can't watch it on the telly. The fact is, they can watch it on the telly. you know, if they've got add-ons that they can use to plug into the telly. Where would I like to see it? I don't know. I mean, I think we sort of spoke off air, didn't we, about perhaps somebody like Amazon coming in and jazzing it up a bit. You know, maybe that's something to think about.
That's something that's been put out and about, is that Amazon actually, they're still looking to buy up rights, and that could be a last-ditch scenario for La Liga in terms of partnering with an entrepreneuristic-style broadcaster who are looking to get as much content as possible. They've got the Premier League this year as well, with a couple of rounds of fixtures around the Christmas period are going to be on Amazon. They've got links with the tennis too. They do a lot of the documentary series. And so this might be a way to pave open a new market, so to speak, and a new broadcaster for La Liga. I would have thought, if you were La Liga, actually, the best thing to do would be to have a platform or part of a deal with, say, either one of the streaming services like 11, who still have shown almost round the clock La Liga TV for the last 12 months or so, and have had all the games up and have done a good job with it, or with done something very similar to DAZN, who've had a lot of success outside of the UK in using a similar type of platform as 11 Sports have been, or you go with a Sky or a BT, somewhere where there's a premium element of content, but also make sure you get some games on ITV or one of the terrestrial style broadcasters classically in the UK, even if it's going, you know, so it goes out on Freeview. So even those that haven't got the pay packages to be able to watch every single game or watch the big games, they can still watch, say, a highlight show, catch up with the action, and we can see a bit more of La Liga in the UK.
I think it's just, you know, free to air and just getting people, you know, engaged and involved again, I think it's very important. But look, let's see what happens in the next few days. We could well be talking about this again in next week's show. Just, you know, maybe we'll see some games this weekend, maybe not.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we do see this weekend. As you mentioned, it all kicks off with Barcelona on Friday night. Jace, in terms of this new season, are we expecting anything too different from what we've seen in pre-season? You kind of get the feeling that it's going to be Barcelona and one of the Madrid sides, and that Madrid side isn't going to be Los Blancos.
Well, I think they've already said, haven't they, Zinedine Zidane's walking on thin ice as it is, and the season hasn't even started, which, you know, I find quite incredible. But
Bale and James apparently are key elements as well for Zidane now. They're keys in his side. Like, yeah, the chopping and changing at Real Madrid in the narrative is just fantastic.
We're chatting now the day after they've drawn with Roma and then obviously lost on penalties, and he played two formations in that game, Zidane, neither of which worked particularly well. And I'm not going to, you know, put the knife in and turn it and say he doesn't have a clue, but even when he took over, we all said, you know, tactically he's probably not the greatest, and the Champions League titles masked a lot of his shortcomings. Having said that, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt again for the next couple of months and see if he can turn things around. But if we look at, you know, how they've done in pre-season, I think they've conceded 18 goals, which, you know, every game they're looking like, at the back, they're awful, absolutely awful. And they may have a decent attack, Hazard, Jovic, Vinicius. It's no good, you know, if you score three, you've got to keep it tight at the back, not concede three or more. So as far as I'm concerned, unless something changes with Real in, say, the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, they're going to be playing catch-up already. And Barcelona, with or without Neymar, I think, again, are the team to beat. I think Atletico, actually, have got a great squad, considering all the players that they lost, those they've brought in, and how they've performed in pre-season. They've looked absolutely fantastic. And I think if they can start well as well, they can push Barca all the way this season.
Well, that's something I think we'd all like to see. Well, we'd all like to see a game. To be honest, we'd like to see a title race as well, if possible. Let's go with a top four quick prediction then, Jace, because we are at this point of the season where, regardless of whether we can watch the games or not, we should probably lay down some bankers and then have them all fall to crap in the next 8 months or so. Top four. I'm going to go with Barcelona win the league. I think that's fairly obvious. Atletico Madrid go second. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself there for out there predictions. I'll go with Valencia take third. And then I'm going to have Real Madrid sat outside of the top four this year. And I'm going to have
massive call.
Sevilla taking fourth.
Okay, I'm going to have Barcelona as champions. I think it's going to be very hard for anyone to dislodge them this season. Atletico second. I'm going to go for Real Madrid in third, whether or not Zidane's there. Only because I think, and again, it's a conversation we had last season, it's the consistency of other teams that tends to let them down over the course of an entire season. I've got Sevilla in fourth, and I know they're losing Ben Yedder now to I think it's Monaco, and that's going to be a huge blow for them. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from Lopetegui, so I think they'll be up there. You know, question is whether they've got the staying power, maybe Valencia as well, to, you know, get on Real's coattails. But I'll stick with Barcelona, Atleti, Real Madrid, and then Sevilla as my top four.
This is going to be an absolute poop show for Real Madrid this season. There's heads are going to roll inside the first 3 months of this campaign, I reckon, because they've looked absolutely atrocious all summer in pre-season. Their attitude has been completely wrong, and their dealings in the transfer market and how they've dealt with any minor situation that's cropped up has been an absolute disaster. Bottom three to go down. Quite simply, I'll put it down to the three that came up, to be honest: Osasuna, Granada, and Real Mallorca. Neither of them have spent really any money. Neither of them have great value in their squad. So it was interesting. I was looking at a website, and we shouldn't buy into the statistics too much, but you look at the most valuable squads in La Liga, and you go even all the way down to Valladolid and Eibar that are valued at around about 70-odd million for their sides. Then the three that came up are valued at 38 million, 27.9 million and 25.6 million. There's a gulf in quality there between those three sides and the rest of the league. And that will be the three that go down.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with two of those. I think Granada and Mallorca will go down. Granada, I think, will be a bit like Huesca. They'll be good to watch. And I think everyone will warm to them, almost like if, you know, some people have like a favourite second team, stuff like that. But when you've got Roberto Soldado at 34 as your main striker, I think, you know, and the smallest budget in the Liga as well, you know, they're primed to go straight back down. Mallorca, I don't think they've got enough about them to, you know, stay the course. I think they might start off reasonably okay, but I think they'll plummet fairly quickly. I'm going to pick Osasuna to stay up by the skin of their teeth, because nobody likes going to El Sadar, and there's been a few good results for them over the years in the Liga. I'm going to go with Real Valladolid to be the third club to go down. I think Ronaldo Nazario's first foray into club ownership probably hasn't gone as well as he expected. They only stayed up last season just, and I think some decent reinforcements were required this summer. But his biggest purchase to this point has been Pablo Ovias from Eibar. Four loan signings, two of them from Real Madrid. It's not going to cut it in La Liga, so maybe the Segunda is their rightful home.
Ah, you're counting out the teenage star of Pedro Porro coming in from Manchester City, Jason. Come on, we've all got our eyes on him. Fair enough. Any surprise packages that are going to catch your eye this season? After 2 weeks ago, I've started to convince myself that I'm really going to enjoy watching this Betis side again this season, and that they're going to pull up a few tree trunks and find themselves back in Europa League. Iñaki Williams has just been tied down, by the way, by Athletic Club Bilbao, which is a great little coup for them, and just to make sure he stays at the club, because he's a wonderful player to watch when he's on song. I'm just not sure he's consistent enough. But I do think Betis, just going back to that, will be a side to certainly keep an eye on for the neutral fan, and somebody, a side that you're going to want to watch to see play football as well. I know others in the last few seasons have perhaps had success in the Liga without playing the most attractive of football, but I think Betis are going about football in the right way at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they were fantastic to watch last season, just they were abysmal in defence. Their 52 goals conceded was the worst out of the top 13, but they won at Barcelona, they won at Real Madrid, so that showed their pedigree. And then they've got Nabil Fekir as their attacking midfielder. I know they've lost one or two players. I think if Ruby can ensure a tighter back four, they've got every chance. Top six isn't beyond them this season at all. I think Athletic, you mentioned Iñaki Williams, only tied down for the 9 years. I've never heard of a 9-year contract before.
You've got faith in him, that's all it is.
I think they'll make top 10. Getafe might just scrape into the top 10. I think their success last season is actually going to count against them this season. The Europa League, I think, is going to wear them out over the course of the campaign. Villarreal, I think actually that they'll do quite all right. I can see them getting top 10 as well. I know they didn't do so well last season, but Cazorla's in sensational form.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they miss Pablo Fornals. So obviously, he's gone to West Ham. But you know, I like the way Javier Calleja's got them playing.
And Santi in pre-season is getting a lot of credit for his performances and continues to be a player just coming back and back and looking better and better each week after that long injury period.
And I think, you know, it comes down to this consistency we keep speaking about. We talked about it so many times last season. There was a clutch of clubs that from sort of like 5th to sort of 12th, 13th. And any one of them could have finished in the top 10 or, you know, the top 7 even. And it's just the odd results here and there that just saw them slip down the table. I think, you know, Betis for me are nailed on for top 6. And then I think, you know, maybe Real Sociedad are in the mix as well. Other than that, I don't really see too many surprises. Eibar, I think they'll stay up again. You know, I've said who I think will go down. They've not been doing as well as they did when they first come up, but you know, they're a well-run club, so they'll be fine in mid-table. Leganés too, Alavés the same, and then you've got Levante. So a clutch of clubs that will be happy in mid-table, and that's probably their aspirations as well, if we're honest.
Yeah, it's that mid-table melee where somebody has a great season, they end up pushing further up the table than anybody expected, and somebody just has a little dip in form at the wrong time and they're suddenly caught in the relegation battle. But all of those clubs you mentioned would be happy to just sit out and ride and coast through in the heart of the La Liga table. Your top four outright on BetVictor: Barcelona to make the top four, 250-1 on. Real Madrid to make the top four, 200-1 on. Atletico Madrid 8-1 on. And then you get, if you want to actually start making some money with your bets, Valencia 5-4 to make the top four, Sevilla 9-4, Athletic Club 5-1, Getafe 10-1. People would rather have Getafe than Betis, surprising. Betis and Real Sociedad 12-1, Villarreal also 10-1. Those odds as good as Sunday. Of course, we are recording on Monday, just difficult to get updated odds at this point in time on here in Buenos Aires. I do apologise for that. Odds are subject to change anyway. For more information on Gambling Aware, and please do Gamble Aware, visit begambleaware.org and get all of the latest odds on La Liga on BetVictor. They're giving you 8-15 on for Barcelona to win the title, 7-4 for Real Madrid, 12-1 for Atletico Madrid. That's not bad, actually. That's worth a punt, 12-1 for Atletico Madrid to take the title. It's not bad at all. Get on that as soon as you can, listeners, then. Bottom three finishers, Real Mallorca, 4-5 on. Granada, 5-4. Real Valladolid, 11-8. Osasuna, 7-4. The top four for getting relegated. You can also throw 7-1 on Real Sociedad to get relegated. That's kind of weird that Sociedad are 7-1 to go down or 12-1 to make the top four. People can't pigeonhole them, that's for sure. And remember, we kick all things off with Athletic Club against Barcelona on Friday. Saturday, Celta de Vigo host Real Madrid. Valencia against Real Sociedad. Mallorca against Eibar. Leganés against Osasuna. Villarreal against Granada. And then Sunday, Alavés take on Levante. Espanyol take on Sevilla. Real Betis take on Real Valladolid. And it wraps up with Atletico Madrid against Getafe. No games on Monday, Jason. Oh, very peculiar. We'll leave it there for this week as we get ready for the new season of La Liga. How can we watch it, Jace? Have you got any idea how you're going to be able to work around this?
Because
I have to say, this is one good thing about being in South America, is that it will be shown out here. So at least for the next couple of weeks while I'm still in Argentina, I'll be able to watch La Liga, and then I'll be like a blind man back in the UK not knowing what's going on in terms of the actual style of football, aside from maybe 2-minute highlights on YouTube. Well, how are you going to cope this Friday?
Oh, I have to worry about that when Friday comes around. It's a long time between now and then.
I know Barcelona will find you a little link, a little backhanded route to find a way to watch the game over the internet or something like that, of course. Thank you so much for joining us, Jace. Really appreciate it, man. And best of luck on Friday with your heart and your head in terms of putting some money on the games, I'm sure.
We don't do that, but thank you very much. Have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Cheers. Thanks very much, mate. Remember to subscribe and like the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all other good podcast providers as well. Go to anchor.fm to reach the main site. Just search in Eye on La Liga and you'll be able to find us there. Until next week, enjoy all of the football. A big thanks to BetVictor, and we can finally start focusing about what happens on the pitch and not these blasted transfer rumours. Well, there'll still be a bit of that with the window still open. Until next week, take care.